Welcome to Hope Chapel. You're about to listen to Ben Humphries.
Thank you, Pastor Andrew. Absolutely fantastic. And hope you go well down at Elizabeth, Pastor Andrew. It's going to be great. Incredible. Well, today we're going to pick back up with that theme of run the race that we started the year with. Run the race that Pastor Andrew brought as our vision for this year. We're going back to that theme, run the race. And I want to preach about the disciples and about all of us, how we really are truly disciples of Jesus and that we're really called to follow him. And I want to preach a message called Trailblazers, that we are all trailblazers. You know, a trailblazer is a person who is a leader or a pioneer. You know, it takes courage to be a trailblazer. It takes boldness to be a trailblazer, as someone who does something before anyone else. And Jesus really is the ultimate trailblazer. He's the original pioneer. In Hebrews 11, there's that great list of all the great heroes of faith in the Bible. And it ends at chapter 12, where it tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He is the great shepherd who leads his people. And us as his disciples, we follow along that path so that we blaze a trail of hope and restoration and peace in the world. That's what we're going to be preaching about today. Thank you so much, Michael. You're a legend. Great looking scarf, strong scarf. Very good. We are his modern day heroes, saints, servants, and soldiers. We're called and set apart for his plan and purpose. We're agents of transformation in the world around us, and we are soldiers fighting for his cause. You know, in the book of Acts, Luke writes about the beginning of all that trailblazing path. In Acts 1, right at the start, Luke says that in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. You see, Luke is writing about the history of the church approximately 30 years after the ascension of Jesus, after we just celebrated Easter. This is about 30 years after Jesus ascended. And the idea is that the church is moving forward, following that what Jesus had began to do and teach, that Jesus has gone ahead of us to lead the church forward from his throne in heaven. But now Jesus' earthly mission is handed over to the church, where he leads us and guides us. And at the end of the book of Acts, Luke writes about Paul, who was in Rome. This is right at the end, the last verse in Acts. In Acts 28, it says, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. And he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus with all boldness and without any hindrance. You see, Rome is not so much the end of the known world, but it was the gateway to what was in front. It was the gateway that Paul had as an ambition to go to Rome to preach the gospel. But really, there was much more beyond that. And there was so much more that Paul wanted to do. And there are many more people that we need to meet. There are many more people that we need to reach that need to hear the gospel. There are many more trails to blaze and paths to follow. And so the book of Acts, it's not just about the characters in the story, but it's about how Jesus continues to lead and empower us to follow him. It says in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, Jesus is the ultimate pioneer. He has sent his Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us along the way. And Luke is showing what it looks like to be a disciple. He's showing us what it looks like that all of us are following him, not just to a destination, but to a way of life. And the Greek word, we've just heard in that video, I didn't know, hadn't seen that video before, but the Greek word for disciple, methete, it means a learner, a student, someone who learns while following someone. And a disciple is a follower of Jesus, of the way that he lived his life. It's a turning away from a direction that we would want to go from values and directions that we think are important. And it's a turning towards a life with direction and value that Jesus says are important. And the Holy Spirit helps us as we travel along that direction that Jesus is going. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. You could be a factory worker, a university lecturer. You could be a bus driver. You could be a business manager. You could be a grandpa. You could be a mum. It doesn't matter. All of us are called to be trailblazers in our world. You know, we're not just here to occupy our place. You know, in the Old Testament, the Israel was called to occupy, and that's what they were called to do. And sometimes that's okay. You know, it's okay to occupy the political space and be Christian in politics. It's okay to occupy where we are. But it's more than that. Jesus has called us to go into all the world and make disciples of all people. And so that's what we're here today. I want to preach about saints, servants, and soldiers. The first one, saints. You see, some people believe that a saint is one of those deceased people who has reached some kind of higher level, and that they are in some ways more holy than the rest of us. And they often have pictures painted of them with a halo around their head. And I'm not knocking them, because many of them have done great things. And I think we might have a photo here of this is Saint Benjamin. Can you see the resemblance? Saint Benjamin, he has got quite the haircut. And so this Saint Benjamin was a deacon in Persia during the 5th century. And as a servant of the Lord, he dedicated himself to spreading the gospel and ministering to persecuted Christians. And when the Persian king began to crack down on Christianity, Benjamin was arrested and imprisoned. But after a year, he was released on the condition that he would stop preaching. However, he refused to stay silent about his faith. He continued to evangelize, knowing the risks. He was eventually captured and again subject to a brutal torture before being martyred around the year 424. But his courage and unwavering commitment to Christ remain an inspiration to all who face challenges in living out their faith. But you see, a saint isn't just some immortalized person who is walking around. You know, actually, Paul talks about, he mentions the word saints 38 times in his writing, and 29 of those times are directed towards us, directly towards us, as God's holy people. You see, a saint isn't just some specially chosen person, it's all of us. Paul writes about that. He talks about that a saint is another name for us as believers. And it means to be set apart. It means to be holy. It means to be called by God, called into his purpose. In Romans 1:7, it says, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. It's that all of us, that we're all being made holy, that we're all being set apart. In 1 Corinthians, it also talks about to the church of God who was at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who are in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus. You see, the picture is similar. In Jewish thinking, they would have the utensils in the tabernacle or in the temple, and there's the Hebrew word kadesh. I think that you're supposed to say that with that sort of Jewish sound in your throat, but if I do that, I might spit on somebody in the fifth row. So it's just Kodesh, and it's the word meaning holy. And, you know, everything used in the tabernacle, the temple, in the worship was set apart and holy. And the things themselves, they were just ordinary things, but they were set apart as holy for God. And the same picture is when God appeared to Moses in the fire, when Moses saw a burning bush, and he thought, wow, what is that? I want to go and have a look at that. And he went over there, and God spoke to him from inside the fire, and he said, take off your sandals because you're standing on holy ground. That the ground was holy because it was set apart for God to meet with Moses. And you see, and when Jesus called his disciples and when he calls us, I believe it means two things. First of all, it's positional, that we are in Christ, that we have been made holy, and that we are his holy people in the world, that he has set us apart and called us in Christ. In Hebrews 10, it says that we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You know, it has nothing to do with our popularity or our education or our appearance or anything like that, you know, or whether or not we have a halo around us. But we have been made holy through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. It's a positional reality for every believer. But it's also, I believe, progressive in our lives. And this is where the discipleship part comes in. In 1 Peter 1:15, it says, "But just as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do." You see, being a disciple is growing and learning the ways of God. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. It's not asking us to be perfect. But we're called to be disciples that learn as we go. Learn as we go. And so the application of being a saint is learning to be a disciple, a disciplined one, a follower of Jesus. It's not about being perfect. You know, even you just have to look at the disciples. They all of them made mistakes. And we all make mistakes. I make mistakes. You make mistakes. None of us are perfect. But what Luke is saying is look in the book of Acts, look at where they are now. Look at where they are now. Look at where they've gone. Look at what God has done in their lives because the Holy Spirit guided them and they followed Jesus' way of life. You see, the bottom line is it's all by the grace of God. It really is all by the grace of God. There's nothing we can do to earn salvation. There's nothing we can do to earn salvation. But that doesn't mean that there's nothing for us to do. There is so much for us to do. And James says, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Jesus said at the end of his Sermon on the Mount, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. You see, there's a difference between knowing Jesus and following Jesus. And so when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, it's to help us to apply the word of God, to put truth into action. And I think that the way that Paul would see it and the way that Luke would see it is that if Paul was to write a letter to us today, he would say that there is no greater honor and privilege in life than to be called by God, to live a life that brings glory to God. There would be no greater privilege. This is why Paul is writing to the saints, that we are God's holy people. Not perfect, not we don't make mistakes, because we do. But this is what God is now doing in the world. That he has set apart us as holy people to go into the world to represent the grace and the love and the goodness of God. And so Paul would say there is no greater honor, there is no higher privilege, there is no greater thing, both in God's eyes and the eyes and what is in the world. So let us run that race. Let us learn as we go. Let's blaze the trail. The second thing is servants. Jesus said the greatest among you shall be your servant. Mark 10:43. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great, you shall be your servant. Great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first of all shall be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, servanthood wasn't really a concept that the disciples easily followed. It was something that they understood. They knew what a servant was. It just wasn't something that they thought they would have to do. And Luke tells a story where James and John wanted to burn down a whole village. And who would have thought? And Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem and he needed to stay at a village in Samaria. And the people in that place didn't want Jesus to stay there. We don't know why. Maybe they didn't want any controversy. You know, wherever Jesus was, there were crowds, there were things happening. Mate, we don't know why. But they said, look, we don't want you guys to stay here. And James and John asked, and they said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven? And Jesus had to say to them, look, listen, guys, we're not here to destroy people. We're here to save people. You know, and it was a concept that the disciples had to learn and understand. That it was about loving people, helping people, and it's about serving. And so that was just where they were at with it. But Luke was an incredible person. The guy who wrote Acts, he wasn't one of the original 12 disciples, but he had an incredible impact. He traveled the world helping Paul on his missionary journeys. And Luke was intelligent. He was a historian. He was a doctor. He was a writer. But you know, it's amazing how God uses people who are willing to serve. Paul himself was a great servant. laying his life down to preach the gospel. And as incredible as Paul was in preaching the gospel and explaining the scriptures, he still needed people who could help him. He needed people who could write down his letters for him, because Paul didn't write all of his letters. And so people like Timothy and Silas and Tertius and perhaps even Luke all helped write these letters for Paul that we read today. And when you look at Paul's life, you know, he was always injured. You know, it was just one of those people. You know how some people just always are injured or find themselves in trouble? I see some hands going up there already. Some people just find trouble. And Paul was kind of one of those guys, but he was always on the forefront, always going for it. But Luke was a doctor. And so, you know, whether it was shipwrecks or, you know, beatings or just, you know, sun exposure, or, you know, I think he even may have had trouble with his eyesight, no matter what it was. But Luke was there with him, helping him, probably keeping him alive, keeping him preaching the gospel, keeping him going. What an incredible man. What a great... So who preached the gospel, Paul or Luke? You know, so it's just, I just think that servanthood is such a great thing. And that's really what it's all about. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, it took many more than just one person for Paul to preach the gospel in Rome. You know, preachers often marvel at how great Paul is or was. And he is incredible. He's an incredible man. But Paul was always celebrating the people that helped him, the people that were around him. He was always congratulating this person, celebrating this person, pointing to how good this person was. And, you know, he said, look, when he was first saved, do you remember when Paul was first saved? Nobody really wanted to go near him because of his past. And that's fair, really, because he was brutal towards Christians. He was not nice. Nobody wanted to go near him, but Barnabas did. Barnabas got around him and he encouraged him, took him under his wing, helped him along his way. Tychicus was a courier who carried his letters. You know, it's one thing to have letters all written, but then what? Somebody needed to carry them and take them. Aristarchus helped him during a riot. And no doubt Luke helped him after the riot, after the beatings. Epaphroditus brought him gifts while he was in prison. Lydia gave him accommodation and financial support. You see, the point is that Jesus is saying that being a disciple is a servant who lays his life down to help people. And then Jesus also describes, so how does that work? How does that work? In Luke 13, and again he said, to what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it was all leaven. And then he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. You see, servants act as leaven by pioneering transformation from the inside. By being servants, they pioneer transformation from the inside. See, a few years ago, Michelle started making sourdough in our house. And it is amazing sourdough. You don't get sourdough like that. And to make it, you have this yeast at the start, but you make this starter. Okay, so the yeast goes into the starter, but then this starter becomes this alive thing that is just alive and active. And when you put this starter into the dough, it turns it into something incredible. It's just a little thing, but it turns it into something amazing. You see, servants influence culture by showing the grace of God. Just by bringing what you have, it sometimes seems like a little bit, but just by serving, just by helping, just by doing, it brings something incredible with active and practical help. And it says that, you see, when that little scripture that we read, it says that Jesus went through the cities and the villages, teaching and journeying towards. You see, he didn't go to the village to judge them or to burn the house down. He went there to help and just to teach and help, to serve, to do. And he was showing the disciples along the way, look, this is what we do. Let's just go along the way. Some of the stories we don't know. We don't know what they helped and how they helped. But the thing is just to be a servant. Florence Nightingale. Has anybody ever heard of Florence Nightingale? Yeah, lots of people. Lived from 1820 to 1910. It was an Anglican. We don't hold that against them. That's okay. An Anglican who believed God spoke to her, calling her to work. She quietly transformed nursing into a respected, highly trained profession as she studied and used statistics to analyse wider health outcomes and advocated reforms that added 20 years of life expectancy between 1871 and 1935. What an incredible servant. Somebody who has just worked on the inside, quietly went about doing what they were doing, using their gifts and talents. They weren't the prime minister or whatever, but they advocated for incredible reforms that helped people and changed things. How good are servants? You see, when people get weighed down with life, whether it's sin or a burden or that you're carrying or dramas or circumstances, you know, it's not for us to go, oh, well, that's, you know, bad luck or, you know, or call down fire from heaven. You know, servants make friends and pioneer transformation from the inside. That's what servants do. They carve out a trail to help people along the way. Servants are saints called by God. Disciples are saints called by God. Disciples are servants transforming things from the inside, and disciples are soldiers. You know, whenever we move forward, we're always going to face opposition. There's always going to be opposition. Jesus never took on the physical fight, but he always was fighting against ideology, ideas that opposed to God's values. You see, when Jesus called Matthew to be a disciple, Matthew had a great celebration. He celebrated with a banquet. And he says that he invited Jesus to his house and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were there. But when the Pharisees and the religious people found out about it, they complained because they didn't like the tax collectors and they didn't like the crowd of others that Jesus was with. But this is what Jesus said in Luke 5. It's not the healthy people who need a doctor, but the sick. I haven't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And you know, you're truly a disciple when certain people are against you or certain things are against you. There was another banquet that Jesus was at. This time it was at one of the Pharisees' house, and a woman was there, and she saw that Jesus was there, and she was crying so much that her tears washed Jesus' feet. And so she wiped them with her hair, and it says that she kissed his feet and poured expensive perfume on them. You see, once again, the critics didn't like it. They didn't think that she should be there or that Jesus should even give her any attention. But Jesus said to them, no one else gave me water to wash my feet, but she did. No one else welcomed me here like this woman has. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You see, being a disciple, we're called to do what is right and stand up for other people. We're called to do what is right and stand up for people. You know, so people in the Old Testament like Caleb, Joshua and Daniel stood up for godly values. And the mistake that the Pharisees made here was that they invited Jesus to entertain the crowd. You see, some people think that going to church is about entertaining an audience, but being a disciple isn't about being in the crowd to be entertained. It's about being a soldier that's ready to march. That we're ready here to help advocate for people, that we're ready here to pray for people. We're ready here. That's what it's all about. And in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You see, we aren't fighting against people, but against the powers that work behind them. And ultimately, the only thing that can change people is Jesus working in our heart. We've learned that recently. But there is a battleground where the grace of God is challenged. There is an enemy who sets up barriers and arguments against the gospel. And the picture Paul is painting is that those arguments are like a fortified city, that they are a defense system where there are towers and walls and strongholds. But we aren't on the defensive side. We're on the offensive side. And those things can't stand against the advancing army. You see, and people face all kinds of these invisible battles from time to time. But we fight with weapons that are able to demolish those things. We're declaring the truth of the Word of God, that it is living and active. That is a powerful thing. It's praying with faith that can move mountains. It's standing strong knowing that if God is for us, then who could be against us? It's preaching the good news of the grace and the salvation of Jesus. It's praise and worship that brings down walls and breaks chains to freedom. You see, disciples are soldiers that blaze a trail of the goodness and the grace of God. You guys can come up. Is Michael here? You guys can jump up. We are his modern day heroes, saints, servants, and soldiers. We're called and set apart for his plan and purpose. We're agents of transformation for good in the world, and we're soldiers fighting for his cause. You know, being a disciple is such an incredible privilege and honor that we have been set apart as holy by God, that the church is God's mission in the world, that we're all part of that. An incredible thing. What a wonderful privilege to be called by God. And what an incredible stage that we find ourselves on. And, you know, I liked what Andrew was saying before when he talked. We've come to the end of our celebrations of Easter, of the covenants, that we've been redeemed, that we've been bought with a price. And now here we are, and where to from here? And I want to say today that we're here to blaze a trail, not off on our own. We're following Jesus, that he is the ultimate pioneer, that he is the ultimate trailblazer. That he has called us and set us apart, gifted us, empowered us. He's leading us by his Holy Spirit that he sent. And that we're here today, that we're learning that we're not perfect. Praise God that we don't have to be perfect. That's what some of the things were in some of those old covenants. We all made mistakes. Every one of them made mistakes, but Jesus has forgiven us. Jesus has made the way for us so that we could be truly who we are, that we are being set apart, called by God, made holy in his sight, but that we live a life where we're learning to be like that, learning to be like Jesus. We will never attain to it. It's not about attaining to that standard. It's not about, when Peter says, now that you are holy, so be holy in all that you do. It's not saying that you're going to have to have no mistakes and be perfect. It's saying that we learn who Jesus was and how he lived, and then we follow that life. He's made us holy, and so we live holy. And it's an incredible privilege and honor to do that. So let's be true saints in the world. Let's blaze a trail of being a saint. Let's be servants. How funny are James and John that they wanted to burn the village down? But if we're honest, we're all like that. Sometimes we feel like we want to judge things or think, oh man, you know, this thing is just, let's just burn it down. But that wasn't Jesus' attitude. It was like, hey guys, listen, we're here to serve. We're here to serve. And these wonderful people in these villages that we travel to, there's incredible families there. There's incredible people. Let's go and find them and let's serve them. Let's show them the grace of God. How incredible that Jesus walked. I love to think about that. Jesus walked with the disciples and showed them and said, hey, look at this person here. Let's love them. Look at this person. Let's serve them. And incredible people. Incredible people. And what a wonderful thing to be a servant. To be a servant. How good. Do you see all the people that serve Paul? And in God's eyes, in God's economy, nobody's greater than anybody else. You know, it's not like Paul is more special than Tychicus. Everybody was serving to preach the gospel. Everybody. So we are servants. Disciples are servants. And we're soldiers. You know, nothing's ever going to be easy. Nothing's ever going to be easy. You know, and actually taking a stand and going, you know what, I'm going to blaze a trail. There's always going to be opposition. But the power that is with us is stronger than what is against us. And we're here to help people, to advocate for people. To use the things that God has given us, the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, the praising and worship. You know, when we praise and worship, it can tear down walls, it can tear down barriers, it can break chains, not just in our lives, but in the world that we influence. You know, the goodness of God is so good, and as we reach into that, as we blaze a trail, that the things that God has given us are stronger than where we're going. And so let's blaze a trail towards that. I want to thank you today. God bless you for being here. I hope that you can blaze a trail this week, being a saint, being a servant, being a soldier. God bless you. I'm going to hand back to the team.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message this week.